are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Do up a second thought about you now. Ghetto people,
who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me, people, you gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Ghetto people,
where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me what your life is?
What's with your life? Running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means, so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. I'm your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything was well for you today. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it was not, you got it done anyway. Nothing else needs to be said. You know, you got it done. In fact, knowing that it is you, it's done. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop-down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. But you can use a shortcut to any search engine that you use, you know. Put the information in, BabaOshi, BabaOshi.net, BabaOshi.net, and there will be programs that are dated and titled from Time for an Awakening. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, on Mondays, from 8 to 9, from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., Black Therapy Central, with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra on Mondays. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays. And then on Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an Awakening on Fridays. Saturday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council, right here on Time for an Awakening. And then on Sunday, once again, at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Go to WeBuyBlack.com. And get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. And when you go on the website of WeBuyBlack.com, also make a contribution to help us get a supermarket here in the Atlanta area, because this is ridiculous. And then we'll get one in your area, and so forth and so on. And then the farmers, the brothers and sisters that are farming, will have a way to get their produce and their... and whatever they're going to be selling to market, as well as other companies that are American African owned and operated that have products to be sold. We got to do this and provide jobs for our young people. Man, you know, okay. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Monty Taihemba is ready to take our people back to the motherland on a trip of a lifetime again. And the next one coming up is May 24th to June 5th to Ghana. That is still just $3,800. And then November 17th through the 28th to Tanzania
for also $3,800. And then to Ghana, December 24th to January 5th, 2023, that is $4,000. Then March 31st, next year, March 31st to April 10th, 2023, to Senegal and Gambia, and that's only $3,800. Also, to information as it relates to land ownership, investment at the Black Star Repatriation and Pan-African Community in Ghana is available. And everything you need, all the information that you need, all the things about shots and visas and everything is right there on the website. So brothers and sisters, if you want to see pictures, photos of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomonti. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomonti2007. And they're always updating. So, you know, this just, what did it come back from? Tanzania. So there'll be some nice photos and videos for you. Habesha Incorporated.org. Habesha, helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. Habesha Incorporated. And, of course, they do a number of programs. The Habesha Works Program, Black to Our Roots, Golden Growers, Sustainable Seeds, and Urban Green Jobs. And, of course, they're having the international launch of the Kashi Project October 8th through the 17th in Ghana, West Africa, this year in Ghana, West Africa. So you can click to support the efforts through a donation, a one-time or a pledge amount. All donations are tax-deductible at Habesha, and it is a 501c3 organization. HabeshaIncorporated.org. The LEDGE program. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. LEDGE. I apologize. I have little sniffles here today, brothers and sisters. I don't know. Kept started last night. So I'm not claiming anything, but, you know, I don't have usually have allergies, but I can desperately use something right now. I tell you, LEDGE deals with the four areas of human existence on the continent of Africa. They deal with water, food, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects going on in six different countries with over 172 people employed and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of LEDGE, and membership has its privileges. You can buy land for $250 an acre in Tanzania. Brothers and sisters, go to LEDGE, theledgegroup.com. Abibi Atumi, abibiatumi.com. The website has been messing up on me. Last time I've been going there, it's been freezing, and I can't do nothing with it. And hopefully you can go there to BABIBITUMI.com, abibiatumi.com. That's ABIBITUMI.com, abibiatumi.com. So I can't even move it, so. Okay, I can't wait. Smai Pharmacy. Smai Pharmacy. SMAIFARMACY. SmaiPharmacy.com. Brothers and sisters, go to SmaiPharmacy.com. My good brother, Brother Jabril, give him a call at 731-327-6229. That's 731-327-6229. And schedule an appointment, and he can talk to you about your health and all the things that may be going on with you and develop a plan. Also, too, you can email him at smaipharmacy@gmail.com. smaipharmacy@gmail.com. That's SMAIFARMACY. smaipharmacy.com. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Located in the West End on Ralph David Abernathy. Across the street from Soul Vegetarian, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. The number to call is 404-444-1635. They have delicious smoothies and fruit drinks and pastries and all kind of good health stuff. That's for sure. And they have vegan food on Saturday and Sunday that you can purchase at Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Go check out Mama Nia in the Greenbrier Mall. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, T-shirts, all kinds of good stuff at the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Give her a call at 404 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore and Coffee Bar in Lithonia. Brother Gazimde Ajamu, give him a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. He's right there. He's east of Atlanta off of I-20. And also, so is my good brother at Afroletics, who has a shop, who has a store in the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market is located in Stonecrest, and they occupy a old or abandoned Target store, and they put all these beautiful, oh man, it's fantastic. You need to go. It is on I-20. If you're in Atlanta, you go I-20 East, you exit number 75 or Turner Hill Road, make a right. The third light after you've exit, make a right. On the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. I saw Saj there yesterday, my good brother Sajafo, with his jewelry and store for artwork and stuff like that, and figurines and statues and so forth. And also, too, my good brother Mike McGee Jr., he has a CBD store, you know. Yeah, he's selling potent stuff, though. He just ain't selling CBD for my health. He's selling some potent stuff. So, all right, brothers. All right, brothers and sisters, that's a new Black Wall Street Market. Us Lifting Us, the economic development for our people. And I'm going to be talking with Sister Elu, Mama Elu, in a moment about the upcoming conference this weekend of Us Lifting Us, the economic development cooperative for our people, in the spirit of Ujamaa, cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Homeland Village, a cultural gift shop in Macon, Georgia, at 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia, open from Tuesday through Sunday, not open on today. But give Brother Abijah a call tomorrow at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. Homeland Village, cultural gift shop, and so much more. He's got furniture, clothing. I mean, he even has a vegan restaurant in his establishment. I mean, it's really great. Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop, located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Sun Goddess Sense. Brothers and sisters, give me my good friend Shelly Amundset a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Sister Gabby is doing great work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, up in the hills and so forth. You know, they don't have any safety net, of course, and they rely on people to help them. And they have the beautiful children that, when you go on the website, to Sanjay, Sonje-Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I, and you can witness it for yourself, what they're doing with the educational program, the health care, the sustainable agriculture, the entrepreneurship, trying to make it happen. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Akabin Institute, Baba Baruti and Mama Ya, Akabin Institute, they still have the ongoing course this Wednesday, you know, identity course that they have. They have that ongoing. Akabin Institute, if you can make your check of money over out to Akabin Institute, send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. You also can use PayPal. If you use PayPal, yabaruti at Yahoo. If you use Cash App, you put the dollar sign in, Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, to send your contributions. One time or ongoing. Greatly appreciated. Also, too, Baruti's a prolific writer, as we always read in Ye Say Sim, and that you go to AkabinHouse.com. AkabinHouse.com. All right, brothers and sisters, we're going to get into the In Ye Say Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. the Enye Sasim. Let me get my stuff together here. Huh? I'll tell you, I'm discombobulated because of this. Okay. Okay. March 6th. A compliment to you is, at the same time, a compliment to me. Your beauty and style are also my beauty and style because you reflect me. We are one. We have to learn to be able to give and accept praise and deserve flattery without readily assuming that the giver is trying to get into your pocket or your bed. Loving people compliment each other. They thrive on making each other feel good about themselves. That's Baba Barubi. That's right. Excuse me. African sovereignty cannot come into the world where the measure of relationships is based on who can I get with, from whom can I not, and what can be reciprocally given through without expectations of return, where compliments are an insult or, at the minimum, suspect, unless there is some personal benefit, where there is no respect without agreement or force, where morals are based on immoral popularity and not righteous tradition, where character is a role in a movie without character. Affirm, I compliment those who reflect me. Affirm, I compliment those who reflect me. March 7th. These are the days of strong men to courageously expose wrong. Adam Clayton Powell Jr. Extreme individualism removes the possibility of a moral base, especially in Western culture, because anything that produces a profit or physical pleasure becomes morally correct. Regardless of the truth of an individual statement, convincing others of its truth is what is most important. Skill at manipulating others' minds is the ultimate priority. Truth itself is irrelevant, and it is set up by the winner. So rules are meant to be broken, and because winning is everything, and deception, the easiest and surest way to winning in Western society, there can be no moral rules except those arbitrarily given by the winner. It is in the master of the lie who wins. For a lie is only a lie when one is caught. The indigenous people call this way of the forked tongue. It spoke of the lying nature of the Urugu. Like us, they learned that Europeans first looked to understand the humanity in others. They then exploit that humanity by pretending commonality of human belief and interest. Most human people cannot believe that any human being, and certainly not a human population, can naturally be that evil, but damn it, they are. This pretense is accompanied by the systematic and inhumane exploitation of these victims' prey before they are able to realize the deceit. Once they are in power or dominant position, this farce of common humanity is put aside, unless they are dealing with a large population wherein it would take generations to convince them to believe that in the lie of our common human humanity. Affirm, I am honest with those who are righteous. Affirm, I am honest with those who are righteous. Brothers and sisters, the Enye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Brothers and sisters, we have a conference coming up this weekend that we hope that you can be a part of. Man, excuse me, family. And it's the Us Lifting Us annual conference. Us Lifting Us is an economic development cooperative in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics, or as we have like to say, family-centered economics. It is something that I firmly believe in, and I remember when Brother Baba Tony Courtney presented it to me. I was still living in Milwaukee. I was coming to visit, and I went by Baba Akima's house, and we sat and talked for quite a while. And I had joined right away because I believe in being collective. So we have a representative of us lifting us, and we're going to talk about the conference and all the things that's going to be happening. And that is Mama Elu. Mama Elu, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you, Baba.
All right. How are you this morning?
I am well, thank you. I'm quite well. I hope you are.
I am. I am. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to have you on to talk about Us Lifting Us and the conference coming up this weekend. I know it's virtual again.
Yes, we had to acquiesce once again to the COVID-19 protocols, but we are in full swing, and we have a wonderful, wonderful opportunity planned for our conference registrants to attend.
Great. Good. And how much does it cost to attend the conference this weekend?
The registration for the conference is $35, which individuals can go on our website, usliftingus.com, and they'll see all the conference information there. They'll be able to register right there.
We'll definitely do that. And of course, if you are a member or if you just are interested, it is $35, brother and sister. That's nominal. It's for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. What are some of the highlights of the conference this year?
Well, our theme this year is building economic sovereignty now for future generations. And I was really impressed by your mentioning your introduction to Elu and speaking with Baba Hakima. Actually, he was the individual who spoke with both my husband and myself about joining Elu. And I've been actively involved with the organization now for the past 2 years. We chose this theme because we feel that we need to be about the business now of developing this economic sovereignty that we speak of. It isn't going to necessarily be a benefit to some of us who are a little more advanced in age, but we do recognize that it's something that our ancestors would want us to do at this time so that our future is secured. Some of the initial opening session will be a presentation called Ujamaa, Family-Centered Economics, and that's going to be presented by Brother Ankti, who is an Elu member.
He's a good man. Brother Ankti is a good man. Yes, he's been on the program many times.
Yes, he is. And hardworking, very hardworking. We'd like the people to think of this concept of Ujamaa in a different way than it's typically thought of, and his presentation is going to center around that. We really, really want to fully understand this concept of cooperative economics and the collectivity that's necessary when we're talking about that.
It's vitally, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying
how vitally important it is. You know, in fact, the principles of Kwanzaa, the principles of Ma'at, we have all that we need to get ourselves together. The only thing we don't have is our right minds. And if we did and we follow these particular principles, we'd be so far ahead in terms of sovereignty, in terms of collectivism, in terms of developing businesses and providing jobs and producing products and so forth. I mean, you know, it's just because I remember when I joined Us Lifting Us, the first thing we talked about was having, putting our monies together to develop a mall, much like what's happening now here in the Atlanta area with the new Black Wall Street Market. You know, that particular concept, the number of businesses that are there, but that's not a collective. That's not a co-op, you know. Mm-hmm. But see, where ours would have been a co-op, where we as the brothers and sisters, you know, we own it. Excuse me. We own it. And so we can benefit collectively from it, you know. And I love the concept. There were examples of success, like the Mondragon model. There's a number of successes, you know, and of course, It is within the Nguza Saba. It is within the, you know, I developed a lapse there. I apologize. Yeah, but no, it's in the Nguza Saba, or the principles of Ma'at, you know, mm-hmm. and all the things that mm-hmm. are there for us. If we embrace them and put them into our everyday lives, you know, we'd be a people who are advanced, far better off than where we are right now, because it doesn't look good for us now because we're so individualistic, particularly in this society, which that's what it promotes. It doesn't promote, you know, being collective.
As much as we might not want to admit it, we are products of this environment. Mm-hmm. Most of us have not, even though we may have visited the motherland, mm-hmm. even though we may have spent time there, even though we may have internalized some of the ancient values, we are products of this environment, which is highly individualistic. And it's going to take a lot of education or re-education, I believe, to help us to get to that point where we truly understand what those principles of the Nguza Saba and Ma'at are trying to share with us from ancient times, what we need to know about developing our nation.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So that's really the basis of that first presentation, the opening presentation. Mm-hmm. I do want to say that we had a virtual conference last year, and it was the first time that it had ever happened. We got a feedback, and some of the feedback was that we felt it needed to be a little more interactive. You know, we are accustomed to coming together in these large collectives and being able to see each other and hug each other and engage with each other.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Lo and behold, this year we have to do it all over again in the same way. But we tried to respond to that and make the activity more interactive, so that if you are planning to attend, and I'm speaking to your listening audience, and
yes.
we hope you're planning to attend.
Yes.
Please know that you will be required to do some things as well. It will not be a pouring into you session totally. Mm-hmm. So be prepared for that interaction to take place.
Great. That's fantastic.
The afternoon plenary session is going to involve a presentation from the Ulu attorney. Ulu has, for the last year, perhaps, the executive board has been engaged in dialogue on restructuring Ulu mm-hmm. in a way that would hopefully gain more attention and more participation from its members and potential members. So that afternoon session is going to deal with that.
I look forward to it. Yeah.
The case for restructuring Ulu. I can't say very much on that because I also will be listening to a lot of this for the first time. Mm-hmm. And I do know that it is important, particularly if you're members, because the membership will also have to vote on this the next morning.
Okay.
It's not something that we are just going to do and it's a done deal. But the members will need to hear it. The members will need to hash it over in their minds overnight mm-hmm. and come to the membership meeting prepared to make a determination. Of course, in the morning on Saturday, and Saturdays, well, I didn't tell you, I guess I should mention that we begin on Friday with a drum call at 12:50, so you can tune in really early. We'll start right away at 1 p.m. Mm-hmm. for the opening session. We do have a break, and then we'll come back for the afternoon plenary. Mm-hmm. On Saturday, the meeting begins at 10 in the morning. Of course, we'll have the drum call slightly before that, and we'll get right down to business. The initial presentation is going to be a recommendation from the board to the membership regarding the presentation that they heard the previous day on the restructuring process.
Okay, good.
So members will get to ask questions, hear some of the information again, and be prepared to vote. Now, it's my understanding that if you are a member, you should already have received via email a video that also addresses some of what's going to be taking place. So I know we are busy people and we get lots of email, and sometimes it's junk email, and we don't even want to deal with it.
Right.
But do go back into your email to check for a recent message from Ulu regarding the meeting, regarding the convention, and specifically containing a video that discusses what we're going to hear more about in terms of restructuring Ulu on both on Friday afternoon and on Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it is a business meeting, so you know, with business, there's always those messy things like finances and letting us know who's who and who's joined us and those kinds of things. So that'll take place also in the morning.
Excellent. Excellent. I see we have the cultural testimonies of a runaway slave on Saturday, as well as the voice of ancestors praising the Ulu spirit.
Yes.
Yes.
We've included several times during the convention for our cultural expressions, and I'm particularly going to ask that we look at them and listen to them very carefully, because they are representative of the message that we're trying to convey. Testimony of a Runaway Slave is a video production. And the videographer is a well-known artist, but he has chosen to do a lot of his work in the last few recent years using video.
Oh, okay.
We watch all kinds of movies, but rarely do we watch movies that help bring us forward in terms of our understanding of who we are and how we got to where we are, and the liberation struggle that we need to engage in to take us forward. So that's what that's about.
Ashe, good.
Voices of the Ancestors is another program on Saturday afternoon. And we want to just listen. We want to just listen and really reflect on what some of our ancestors have had to say about this notion of Jama'a, this notion of collectivity and cooperativeness.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what that one's about. We have some very engaging sessions that are going to take place so that we kind of get to know each other at different points during the convention. These will certainly be interactive, and we want everybody to just relax and enjoy the spirit of the brothers and sisters who are present at our meeting.
Okay.
And finally, for those who want to be a little active, we've engaged in something totally new and different.
I see.
We understand that our bodies are important to our development.
That's right.
And important to our sustenance. We need to take better care of them. That is both what we put into them and how we address movement with them. So one of our sisters is doing a Tai Chi presentation. So wear your sweats for that. It'll be highly interactive.
That's fantastic.
We do get also the opportunity to find out some things about the various committee work that goes on in Ulu. And this is where we need everyone's participation. We need everyone who has signed up for Ulu, and I don't care how long ago it was, because once you sign up for Ulu, you're always considered a member. Certainly, we want you to send in those membership fees each year so that they can contribute to the building of the organization and contribute to, towards your gaining interest in the organization. But we also need the true collective spirit. You know, I have belonged to food co-ops. And when you're in a food co-op, everybody gets an assignment.
Right.
You don't just come on Saturday and spend your money because it's work. There is work involved. I think that's probably another thing that this place has taught us, and that's work is only we think of work as something that is negative and something that you've got beat down to do. When if we were to remember what being at home was like, work was what you did, and that was a part of the community. Everybody put in some time.
Right.
So
you share, it's
that's
shared.
We're gonna,
that's how a co-op works best. It's shared. Not just one or two people, but we do it as it's a collective. Yes.
Exactly. So you will hear about the work of the various committees. In particular, on Sunday morning, again, the day starts at 10 and we end at 2. On Sunday morning, you'll be hearing from our business development group. They will have the largest presentation during the conference, and we will feature them because that's, after all, what we are all about. We want them to share their work processes so that others can join in and help do this work. But we also are going to share a particular initiative that is a brand new initiative. It's called Fauna Properties. And when we hear the word properties, of course, we all recognize that has something to do with real estate.
Right. So some kind of acquisition. Yes.
Yes, exactly. So that group will be sharing their work and sharing Fauna Properties activities, and also addressing how our members can become even more involved with that. Not just the working of the committee, but also how they can become potential investors on behalf of ULU in that committee work.
Great.
Let's see. Further on Sunday, Poets Delight. That was something that we wanted to again try and insert cultural expressions throughout. Mm-hmm. And this will be a trip down memory lane for some of us, and also an enlightenment on what our youth are up to.
Okay.
So Poets Delight, past to present. And I'm not going to say very much more on that, except that I'm very excited that we're going to be able to do that.
That's some entertainment. And then at in the afternoon session, the cryptocurrency workshop. I'm definitely interested in learning more. I mean, I'm quite sure many people are, and see how that has evolved. I know we had a big workshop when we first opened the cafe, you know.
Uh-huh.
And we had a couple of people come in and talk to us about, you know, cryptocurrency, and which of course at that time was still pretty very much new, but it's been around now for a minute. And many of our people still don't understand how it works, how it functions, and how it can benefit us.
Well, you're talking to one of those people who has no idea how it works. and I'm interested in knowing what it does, what happens.
Right.
It's been explained to me, perhaps, by relatives or someone in my place of employ, and it's still foreign.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of a hands-on person, and if you can give me something tangible to work with, I can grasp it. And I know a lot of us are, because that's who we are. We like to get our hands into whatever the project is. So I'm not going to reveal all of the secrets about this particular workshop, but it is going to be hands-on.
Great.
Good.
I look forward to it.
Hands-on. Another cultural expression time will be a brief tour through the artist's art gallery. The artist, by the way, is Ross Jahaziel.
Uh-huh.
Some of you may know his name and his work. He is a Rastafari artist from the island of Barbados, and his work is quite unique, and it is always filled with color, and it is always filled with a message, so that we can see ourselves in the work that he does, and so that we can see a vision of where we have been and what we can become. So you get a chance to view, go for a short, brief tour through his art gallery.
Outstanding.
Yeah, and then finally, we are going to have a presentation from New Reality. The New Reality Group is a part of the communication, mass communications committee.
Okay.
And they will be presenting the new ideas for a video program that Ulu is going to launch. I don't know if your viewers are aware that Ulu does have a, I guess you would call that a radio broadcast.
Yes, every Thursday night.
Every Thursday night.
Right, from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio.
Yes.
I announce it every, I didn't announce it today because I knew I was going to announce it, but every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on this program, I announce the Thursday night broadcast from 9 to 10. And, of course, giving the number up, which is 929-477-2789 to listen to the broadcast. Or you can give your questions, comments, or concerns. That's right.
Wonderful. I'm glad you have that number right in hand.
Oh, yeah.
and the New Reality program is going to be a comparable video program, which they will explain all of how that is going to come about and how the listening audience can join in on that as well. So I believe that's it from Friday through Sunday. I'm looking forward to it. I've been engaged with a team of people over the past almost a year as we've been putting this together, and we're anxious to launch it and have our membership attend. So yes. I do encourage everyone to go to the website. It's usliftingus.com, and right on the opening page, you will see the you'll see the landing page for the convention. And they can, your members or non-members can attend the convention. Now, if a non-member registers, they will get a link for the convention activities only. Non-members will not be allowed to attend the meeting on Saturday morning. Because that all of that is annual meeting type activities for members only. But they can join us again on Saturday afternoon, and they'll get to see the cultural expressions and voices of the ancestors, and even participate in the Tai Chi activity.
That's great.
We'd love to have as many people as possible join us for information, for enlightenment, for entertainment, and for their potential engagement with Ulu as their.
I wonder if anybody out there, I know there's a number of people on the line, if anybody has any questions or comments or concerns you have with us lifting us, please hit star twice, and you can get in and ask your question or give you a comment or your concern. But most times people just want to listen. So, and that's always good as well. But I'm thankful that you have the opportunity to come on today, because I know we need to announce this and hopefully get a number of brothers and sisters to join in on the program this weekend, and more importantly, become members and get involved with Us Lifting Us, you know, because I still believe in it. I still believe in the vision. I mean, I was one who encouraged us to do something at the time that we opened up the cafe. You know, I felt bad about that because The reason why the cafe did not become successful is that we didn't support it as a collective, as a co-op, you know, and we just can't rely on people outside of us, you know. And I know there's a business in there now. I've been in there to where our co-op was, and I just, you know, feel kind of bad because I felt that should have been successful to some degree over a period of time. And hopefully that would have led to other ventures, you know, maybe a supermarket, maybe a convenience, whatever, you know, because we need businesses.
Yes, we do.
And then ultimately to the vision that Baba Akima shared with me and other members of Ulu, Baba Ankti and so forth, and Mama Tamu, and that is to build the Ulu Mall. You know, and then have them in other cities where we have a sizable population, you know, where we can provide goods and services and jobs for our people. You know,
well, I think the vision is there. I think it's a perfect vision. I think we have to understand what it means for it and what we have to do in order to get it to happen. I was not a member of Ulu at that point. Actually, I think I joined shortly after that. The Ulu Mart was closed, but I understood the vision,
and I understand
that we will not get too far if we cannot cooperate and work together. We have so many resources, and it's not always the dollar that's the resource,
right.
Although
I agree.
Appreciate the dollars. But there are so many other resources that we have, and we've got to understand that it's necessary for us to participate together.
Right. Ubuntu.
Without each other. Ubuntu.
Ubuntu, that's right.
Ubuntu.
Yeah. I love that. You know, I always use the story of the Caucasian tells the African children, okay, I want you guys to have a race, and you run to that tree, and the first one that goes to that tree is going to get this big basket of goodies, and they all run there together. And he says, no, I want to, and they say to him, no, Ubuntu, we are together. And then I think about, and I visualize that picture of everybody's feet together in that circle. So if you're tall, you kind of scrunch up, but if you're short, you kind of get closer, but everybody's feet is lined up in that circle, Ubuntu, because we are together, you know?
Yes. Well, as I get ready to leave you, because I do have to hop back on the line with my clients, who are my students.
Okay. I really appreciate this time.
I just want to remind everyone once again that the Us Lifting Us 2022 annual meeting and convention is going to take place this Friday, March 11th. 12th and 13th. Our theme is Building Economic Sovereignty Now for Future Generations. And you can access the website. The Ulu website is usliftingus.com, and you'll find program information there. You can register. Members will get 2 meeting access Zoom links. If you are a non-member, you can register and you will get a Zoom link for the convention portion of the program. But you can also become a member by joining.
Yes,
and I'm
please
sure
do.
That if you do that quickly enough, we'll be able to respond by giving you both links for the convention.
And I hope that people do. That's right. Well, thank you, Mama. I hope you have a blessed and wonderful day. I look forward to this weekend and seeing you on the Zoom. Okay?
Great. Thank you.
All right. Sante sana.
Peace, love, and blessings.
All right. BB 48. Brothers and sisters, we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll talk a little bit more about Ulu, and we're going to talk about Ghana. Yesterday was Ghana's Independence Day from 1957, 65 years. So we're going to talk about that. So, brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Herbie Hancock. Yeah, I love Herbie Hancock. A couple of pieces on Herbie Hancock I haven't played in a while. I'm going to do that. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening on Mondays, that's today. So this evening from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Kamal and Mawia Kamban and their daughter Nataki Kamban. After that, from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jim Okay and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Tuesday, and his usual guests are, you know, Dr. Bruce Bridges and my good sister and friend, Sister Benisiwa Ayan, and many others. There's always great conversation with Dr. William Rogers, the Black Reality Think Tank. On Wednesdays, they send, on Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. And then on Fridays, if it's 8 p.m. on Friday, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council from 7 to 9 on Saturdays. And then on Sundays, once again at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We have some callers here. Let me try to see if somebody wants to say something. 404-404-453. Good afternoon.
Hey, Yuhuru, my brother, Yuhuru.
Yuhuru, brother. How you doing? Research West. How's it going, my brother? Thank you for the information you sent. Appreciate you, man.
Yes, sir, man. You know, I get to the bottom of all this stuff, man. Like a lot of our folk, man, you know, they just be going along to get along. Don't know what the hell. They just follow behind what somebody else say without checking stuff out. Mm-hmm. For instance, that BS was yesterday at that march, man, going across that Edmund Pettus Bridge, man. Okay?
Bloody Sunday. Reenacting Bloody Sunday, huh?
Yeah, bro. They don't even know where the origins of the whole damn thing started. And most of the people in the front line, half of them, man, wobbling, could walk across the street, huffing and puffing. 300 pounds. Man, it was a scam, man. And, see, they don't even know what stopped them. Number one, they don't even know the bridge name after the Confederate soldier.
Right.
Edmund Pettus.
Right.
And then they don't even know what really set them off.
Yeah, he was a Klansman. He was a Klansman.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
In fact, there's a move to have the bridge named after, John Lewis. I think that's who we're supposed to name it. Something like that. I don't know. But, you know, I'll tell you, Brother West, a lot of times these things they talk about doing them, and it's just symbolism without real substance. Because it doesn't change. It doesn't change our overall situation. It doesn't even look at the next day, the next week, the next month, the next year, or the next decade, or so on, for us as a people in terms of progress. It's just symbolism, you know.
And see, they don't even know how it started. It started February 26th. Check this out, 1965, when our brother Jimmie Lee Jackson got killed in Marion, Alabama, defending his mama from the damn police, and they shot him in the damn stomach, man. Jimmie Lee Jackson. And they were so mad that they were going to carry his body all the way from Marion, Alabama, through Selma to Montgomery. And they were going to put his body in the state capitol. So that's what that's all about, going across that bridge for, man. That's what that was all about. And it was for something like our rights to voting, but the main thing was Jimmie Lee Jackson, right?
Okay.
So yeah, I have to say his name, man. You know, right on.
Because I know, I don't remember, I went there for the anniversary back in 2015, the 60-year anniversary, and I went down that hill, you know, because, you know, the bridge, when you start out from Brown's Church and in that area of Selma, then you go on the bridge and the bridge goes down, you know. So, you hit then you see what's at the bottom of the bridge. And that's what our people saw when they were going down that hill. They saw the horses. They saw the state police or whatever with batons and so forth waiting on them to give them a beat down. You know? Yeah.
Yes, sir. And see, what made that date, Jimmie Lee Jackson got killed February 26th. Hey, check this out. 47 years from 1965 to the same. That's the same date Trayvon got killed, February 26th, man.
Mm.
Same date mm-hmm. that Jimmy Lee, 47 years, man.
Yeah.
And don't nothing happen by coincidence, man. These dates and times and stuff, they all happen on certain days, and it's all coagulated, man. All uh-huh. mixed in, man. And it's for a reason, man. And see, same thing. I don't know if you watched that whole 3-hour show that my man had, but he was breaking down what Russia was about, what the whole war about, man, the whole thing. I don't know if I sent you that what my man was talking about. Because, see, Russia, the whole Russian Federation was started by a brother named Alexander Pushkin. You ever heard that name before?
Yeah, yeah, Alexander Pushkin, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a writer, literary, yeah.
Yeah, see, mm-hmm. they don't want to tell the whole story that he was the one that started the Russian Federation, man. Okay, they don't want to put that. I looked it all. I mean, I researched it, and mm-hmm. they all they talking about some damn
right, because he was a writer.
Yeah, these mm-hmm. devils, man, they don't like to tell the truth, man.
Uh-huh.
They don't like to tell the whole fucking story, man.
Yeah, Russian literature.
Yeah, he was the one that started the whole Russian mm-hmm. Federation, man.
Well, what's interesting, too, though, what's interesting, too, Brother Research West, is the fact that Russia, because Russia was where it's at, it being in the eastern part of Asia, you know, and kind of isolated from the western part where all the other Caucasians are, because they're Caucasian too. They're white folks, you know. It's mm-hmm. just that they're on the eastern part. And so they were never involved in the enslavement of African people. In fact, Russians were involved in some liberating movements, you know, because of communism that we embraced. Mm-hmm.
Check this out. When Pushkin was in charge of the Federation, that was around the 1700s, man. You know what he did?
What's that?
He sent ships and weapons for these devils over here when they were fighting the British, man. In 1700-something, man.
Okay.
He helped America, man. And plus, if America helped when they was fighting Hitler, man.
Mm-hmm.
In World War II. And see these stupid Negroes, man. They don't even know what they're talking about, man. They just kill me, man. They go, whatever the white folks say, they go putting their in line. And like I said before, I don't know if I talked to you before, but even with them Africans over there, Nigeria should send some planes or something to go.
They're going to do that, but they can't fly into Ukraine because of the conflict. So what they're saying they're going to do is Nigeria and Ghana, because they both have there's about mm-hmm. 2,000 students of African descent. You know, from Africa over in the Ukraine studying. And the reason why they're there mm-hmm. is because they were offered scholarships and it's a lot easier to get into at that time, you know, and the education they also offered in English. So they mm-hmm. made that move. And then as opposed to looking at how the situation was going down and getting out as soon as you could, some of them waited just like some other Ukrainian people. And now they're, it was on them, and then they tried to make that move to get out, and of course they probably didn't realize that they were going to be deeply discriminated against, and that in order for we got to get all the white Ukrainians out before we get your ass out, you know.
Yeah.
But they're going to send a plane to Poland. Now, of course, they're being discriminated against again at the Polish border, the Ukrainian-Polish border. So, because they're only letting the women and children, other Caucasians in, and then other groups, because aside from, because there's 20,000 students, there's Koreans, there's Indians, I think there's more Indians than any other group, you know, but like I said, mm-hmm. there's also 2,000 of us, and of course we've heard about what has happened, and a couple of them have been killed, you know, man, you know, so. Yeah,
just another side of stay out, leave the white folks alone, man.
Yeah,
their ass off. And then I found out last night about the black farmers on Elliott Show. I don't know if you heard Elliott Show last night. With John Boyd, I found out he my cousin, man. We related.
Is that right? Right on. So okay.
We related, man. And so now I got to help him out, get on the fight with him, and try to get him on every program I know. So he could tell his story, man.
Okay, what? Briefly, or succinctly, what is his story?
Well, remember when the farmers had that lawsuit for discrimination?
Yeah. They won.
They won the lawsuit.
They won it,
yes,
yeah.
Sir, they won it, but he still ain't got not one dime. Because these damn white farmers talking about they don't deserve the money and trying to block them from getting the money, talking about reverse discrimination. And then, check this out. He say, what the representative that I think he's full of shit, David Scott helped him out. So I got to give David Scott some kudos. But then he said, remember that old fat Pillsbury, don't look at that. Sonny Perdue used to be governor of
Georgia. Sonny Perdue, yeah, governor of Georgia, yeah.
Yeah, so he was in the Trump administration and head of the SDA.
Okay.
Whatever the hell that office was, agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Sonny Perdue showed him some more racist stuff. About black people don't deserve no money, no farmers, and blah, blah, blah. That right now, every time when I'm trying to just cool off from one situation, you devils do something else, man.
They're keeping you fired up, Wes. They're keeping you fired up, brother.
Yeah, we're prisoners of war, man.
Yes, yeah. No, we are.
Fired up.
We are. Yeah. We're prisoners of war.
Yes, sir. I'm just like you. I consider my folks don't ex-slave. We prisoners of war, man. And I hope all these Negroes get it in their head, man. We at war, man.
Mm-hmm.
This ain't no time for shucking and jiving and tap dancing and being on Mr. Show Negro. Hey, we at war, man. All
over
the whole planet. And I don't care where you at. Zimbabwe or downtown Atlanta.
Yeah, because it's global. And we at war for the minds of our people. That's right.
Now, bro, I found out. I look at the court TV. I'm going to say one more thing. I'll let somebody
know.
It was Jesus. The stupid black people, little children, I think they're about 10 or 15, spending the night over some white folks' house, and then they end up calling them ends and throwing stuff at them. And so them crackers got charged of hate crimes, but we'll see how that goes, man. Somewhere in Iowa, man. I mean, it's one damn thing after another.
It is, brother.
One thing
it's
after
foolish.
Another, man.
Yes, sir.
But anyway,
all right,
I'm
brother
let
West.
Somebody talk, and then maybe down the line, I let my cousin talk.
Yeah, please do.
About black farmers.
Yeah,
right?
Please do. Okay. All right, brother
yes,
West.
Sir, man. Yes, sir. Cause I'm gonna help him out. You can put him on every platform I know, so he can get the word out, man. How these devils doing the black farmers, man?
Right on.
It's a damn shame.
Okay,
but
my
anyway,
brother.
I let somebody talk, man. I know you stay black.
You
all
too.
The time.
You
day,
too,
man.
Brother. Research West.
We got the wall. We got the ass. Yes, sir. We got the ass, man.
All right, brother.
I research every time. Appreciate it, bro.
Peace. Right on. Peace. 646-646. Good afternoon.
Hey, Oshie, what's happening, man?
Man, how you been? Where you been, man? How you doing?
I got sick, man. But I'm straight.
Oh man,
I'm
bless
straight,
it.
Man. I saw
good.
You call the other.
Yeah.
Day, but I was in a meeting, so
okay.
When the time I got to get back to you, it was late. So I said,
okay.
And matter of fact, I was trying to call in, but your show had ended early on Friday.
Right.
But look here, I got a quick question for Wes. Hey Wes, when am I gonna hear about you hanging a Urugu? When are you going to do that, man? Reverse. You know, like, coordinate. You got to reverse it. You know, I mean, you the perfect person who's set up sick and tired of being sick and tired that could go out there and make an example of what needs to be done to these filthy, stinking, no-good Urugals. But, Wes, don't take me serious. I'm just joking with you.
Okay.
But listen.
I know you, man. I know your algorithm, man. I know your algorithm, bro.
But listen.
Yeah.
This whole Ukraine-Russia thing is a contradiction to no end when it comes down to the behavior of America around the world and its interests. And other superpowers and their interests. Now, Putin said one of the most important things that the media and nobody will never really address. And think about this. Just think about this. Mm-hmm. How many bases in the world do America have compared to how many bases around the world Russia has? Can you answer that question?
Well, I can't honestly answer it, although I do know.
I'll answer it for you, Jay.
Okay, please do.
Russia has no bases around the world. America has bases
everywhere,
all over the world.
Yeah, I think they had like about 65. I think America has like 65 bases around the world.
Okay, so now what do that tell you?
They're the world's policemen. That's what it says.
Yeah. That also tells you that may not be Russia's interest to go around and police the world.
Right.
Their agenda may be to keep doing what they're doing for their nation's survival. Now, check this out. They talk about all the sanctions and all of this and that and how they're really doing damage to Russia. Don't let nobody fool you with that bullshit. The sanctions are hurting the Russians a little bit. But remember this. Think about this, brother. Russia's GDP is low because of what reasons? They produce their own food and they do the majority of their manufacturing. So that means they don't have to get into these trade alliances with the rest of the world to sell their products and to buy their products. But, you know, they never tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
So whereby if you listen to what they say they're going after. They're going after the Russian elite, the oligarchy, and Putin and all this and that.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that they didn't tell you is when America and their allies shut down Russia economically, India came together and put together a new financial situation so that they continue to do their business. Come on, okay. Let's stop playing games. This is all propaganda on America's part to make it seem like America is such a innocent and such a purveyor of democracy, and they're about to take democracy away from people in this country. We are a effing joke. And the sad thing is that we don't listen to people who could give us alternative views on this. Okay. I heard a fantastic program for 2 hours breaking this down on Sirius XM with Dr. Wilman Leon. He had on a couple of others and Dr. Gerald Horn. If you ever want to hear the truth about what's going on globally, Gerald Horn is the man.
Mm-hmm.
Gerald Horn is the man because he's going to tell it to you from all sides of the angle. He's not going to just play this American exceptionalism,
mm-hmm.
which is absolutely bull.
Right.
It's bull.
I agree. American exceptionalism.
We are the most corrupt and
yes.
most wicked nation on
yes.
the planet.
Yes. I agree.
But yeah, you know, the thing is, we as a people, we have no real view of the world other than what MSNBC and CNN feed our dumbasses.
Yeah, well,
so
and all the other news outlets, ABC, CBS,
yeah,
NBC,
yeah,
Fox,
I mean,
Fox,
given.
They're all the same.
That's given, but
yeah.
I'm saying, you know, we don't look to alternative voices. We don't look to find out how we can gather information and learn and things of that nature. It's just sad, bro. It's sad.
Well, also, too, even the American African news outlets parody the Caucasians. You know, I listen to, you know, a black news network that is syndicated here in Atlanta, and it's geared towards Atlanta. They mention things that are happening in and around Atlanta. You know, it's a national feed, and, you know, they have the same story every hour or so, then they change them and change up on them. But it still sounds like, you know, any other program that you might listen to on Terrestrial Radio, and there's nothing cutting edge. There's nothing truly, deeply informative, you know?
Oh, no question.
I mean, the only thing...
They're never going to give you an alternative view. They're never going to have somebody like Gerald Horn on. And now they got this fraud, Malcolm Nance. I mean, they're never
Malcolm
gonna,
Nance.
They don't call them a Ukrainian black.
Malcolm Nance.
This guy,
Malcolm Nance.
He's comical.
Yeah, he's been in Secret Service. He's been into the throes of American government for his career. You know?
Malcolm Nance is a fraud.
Well, you know.
I've heard analysts and others say that he's a fraud, man. I don't trust nothing that he says. But these are the people who they push on you.
Right.
You know what I mean? But they'll never say anything about what America does around the world. They'll never say what they did to Saddam Hussein. They'll never say what they did to Gaddafi. They'll never talk about how they're bombing Somalia right now and how they're doing other dastardly deeds and services. Man, I as a black person is going to cap and support the Ukraine. F Ukraine. Ukrainians could die. I don't care that about no damn Ukrainians living or dying. I mean, just look at how they treat our brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And we supposed to feel some sort of symbolic pain for them? You got to be as retarded as a monkey, man.
Well, let me just say this. I'm very disappointed that this has happened. You know, I'm very disappointed.
Why are you disappointed?
Because let me tell you why I'm disappointed, Jay, and to all the listeners. Because there is a possibility that this planet could be on the brink of nuclear war when you have a man who is sitting on the largest stockpile of nuclear weapons in the world and who may feel that if Biden, who said, I'm going to sell jet planes to Poland, and if Poland starts to fly those jet planes or create a no-fly zone in that particular area and shoots down some Russians, I mean, and then they start firing back. The next thing I know, missiles are going to start flying, and everybody's got missiles. And that may mean
now,
that.
Now, stop right there. Stop right there. Think about the logic of this. Think about the logic of it. Do you really think Poland's army's bigger to hang with Russia?
Of course not, Jay.
Do you think that if America, let me finish. If you think if America sends Poland some plane and they decide that they want to interact with Russia, that Russia doesn't have the ability to bomb them to smithereens without using
Jay,
a nuclear bomb?
Are they part of NATO? Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So
if they're part of NATO, as well as United States. So I'm saying that it could proliferate if bombs started dropping. Or planes started falling like that, it could advance to that particular point. And so therefore, to me, you know, what Putin has done was ridiculous. What he has done was ridiculous. He did it on the pretense of some Russian nationalists who were living in the southeastern portion of Ukraine, two areas that they had declared independent, which was bull. Because I was still part of Ukraine, which was some bull. And so he's talking about securing them and supporting them and then moving into and then finally taking Ukraine. Which is a
hey, yo, oh, I got to call you back.
All right, all right, all right, Jay. Take care, brother. Yeah. I hope you understand what I'm saying, family. You know, because, you know, yes, Russia never got into the captivity trade. They've assisted African countries. They've assisted Cuba. They've assisted many others. That I know that. But this particular conflict here and now that was initiated by Putin, the leader of Russia, has a possibility of causing a conflict globally where, you know, who knows? Who knows? You know, they got missiles and anti-missiles and nuclear bombs and neutron bombs and cluster bombs. You know, the you know, Russians are Caucasians. And as I always said, Caucasians have always found a better way to kill your ass. You know, they have the ability to wipe the planet, to kill people and wipe them off the planet. And
yeah,
if that happens,
not gonna do that.
I hope they don't.
Let me say this.
Into this madman that you don't get to the position of Putin and run the country in the manner in which he's run this country for all these years and be a madman. Don't do that. Stop believing that.
No, Jay, hold on, Jay, bomb and destroy the world.
For what?
Hold on, Jay. What he did in doing what he did to me lets me know that he's unstable to deal with the situation, because he knew, he had to know that the whole damn world was going to come down on him if he made this move. Everybody's going to talk about sanctions against their ass, even Switzerland, who claims neutrality, because what he did was wrong.
Man,
so I'm just saying to you,
the thing that you're not realizing is America would have did the same if somebody came to Canada, or somebody came to Mexico, or somebody came within the close proximity of America.
No,
America,
you're right.
What did you say? They've done worse.
No.
What is wrong with you?
No. You're right, because you may not be old enough, but I'm old enough to remember the Cuban Missile Crisis. As a kid, when we go to school and have these air raid drills and go down to the basement and hide under a desk, or you know, put your head between your legs and kiss your ass goodbye. I remember those days. I understand that. But I also understand, who knows? I know the only country I know the only country that has done it is the United Snakes of America. They didn't have to. In fact, I was in a discussion many years ago. I was like, you know, they had the bomb capabilities that when in World War II for the European station. But now y'all waited for the Japanese, because y'all weren't going to drop no goddamn, excuse me, y'all weren't going to drop no bombs on Germany. Y'all weren't going to drop no nuclear weapons or hydrogen bombs on Germany. But you sure in the hell did it to Japan. But what's deep is that, though, look at Nagasaki and Hiroshima. They has a city. And then look at Detroit, or look at D.C., or look at your city compared to what they look like, you know, some 50-something years later with a Marshall Plan and helping them get right. But the point I'm making is that the potential, because if they do fly like that, America's going to let them fly. Maybe because India has them, China has them, you know, Pakistan has them, South Africa has them, you know, Israel has them. So I'm saying that I don't think so either, Jay. I don't think so. And I hope not. But the potential is there. And I know that they knew that. This one, see, maybe he thought that he could go into Ukraine and they would just lay down within a week or a few days, and he would capture the capital and then begin to control things from that point like he did Crimea. I don't know. But what I do know is that the potential is there, and it's frightening.
Well, I'll say this. We are in a situation to whereas we have to be able to defend ourselves and our position, and not just make it the white boy's position. I mean, that's not what the deal is, man. That's not what the deal is.
Well, let me say this. I think the... I can't remember the UN ambassador from which African country said it best. He was eloquent in his statement and in terms of what is of the potential to have a conflict that could, you know, affect the world. You know, he was very pointed, you know, because, yes, Jay, we need to get together as African people, wherever we are. We need to get together, you know, but we are relying on wherever we are to protect us here in America, in Europe, and even on the continent. We're relying on those outside. All right, brother.
We're relying on those outside of us to protect us. And we're putting our faith into governments and entities that give less than a rat's ass about us. So we must do for ourselves. Yesterday, back in 1957, March 6th, Ghana gained its independence. It was the first country on the continent to gain its independence from a European, from a Caucasian, from a Urugu. And it wasn't easy. And although when Kwame Nkrumah made the statement that, because he made the statement, you know, at the ceremony that night about Africans joining together, coming together, unifying. He made the statement. He didn't give a damn about London, British, Europe, United Snake. He didn't give a damn about all of that. He understood unequivocally, undeniably, that the only way that Africans can truly, fully realize their potential as a people is to be unified. He understood that clearly. And he pushed and promoted that. Even to the point that he, when he was overthrown and kicked out of Ghana and lived the rest of his life in Guinea and in Europe, he understood that. And all the other Africans who espoused that and the ending that they had, Patrice Lumumba, Thomas Sankara, Sheikh Anta Diop, they all understood that Africa and Africans must unify, whether you're on the continent or throughout the diaspora. You must unify. We are treated the way we are treated because of our lack of unity. If we were solid, and even though we would have sent some people over to, although I believe that if we were solid, we'd educate them right where we are. But let's just say this for this discussion here, that we did send 2,000 of our people over to the Ukraine for engineering and some other subjects that they could get and whatever. And that to me, once the situation was going to go down, we can get them out because why? We're unified and they will not be disrespected. I remember watching a video on YouTube about these Africans getting dogged out in China. And here, China is all up in Africa being treated with respect. The Chinese are doing whatever the hell they want to do. These Chinese, many of them were in areas of China that have no women. They went to Africa and impregnated African women, thinking that that would also assist them in acquiring land. I already told you many times that their plan in China was to transplant 300 million Chinese on African soil. I've told you many times that the projects that Chinese are building in Africa use no African labor, no indigenous labor. It is all labor from prisoners in China. So we have so much to do, dear brothers and sisters. We celebrate the day that Ghana gained its independence, although in 1957, many other countries still 10, 15, 20, 25 years later didn't gain independence. I remember this real well. There was a Caucasian. He was in the military. You know, he was a relief lieutenant. He was my lieutenant for a minute there because my captain, he was injured. And South Africa was going to gain its independence. Zimbabwe was going to gain its independence. And he had an issue with it, you know. And I explained to him, anybody who has an issue with that is, you know, you're a white supremacist. You believe that whites have whites have the objective to rule over others. You believe that. Because, believe me, if another entity came into your land, your home, your state, your country, you fight like hell. But you just supposed, but we just supposed to lay down to y'all ass because why? Because that has happened. Then, and listen, the only reason why it's happened is because of superior weaponry. When we had spears and arrows and stuff like that, y'all came in with Gatling guns and cannons and other weaponry. Like I said, you always found a better way. But to me, it ain't about the weaponry. It is about the heart and minds of African people. Can we, brothers and sisters, come together? Just step outside of those imposed boundaries that Caucasians, Europeans, Urugu has placed upon us. Step outside of them. Release the vice grip that they have on our minds, because that's what this war is about. We are at war for the minds of our people. When Kwame Nkrumah did what he did in 1957, that should have, he didn't even stated it. This should be happening very soon, that other countries will be free from colonialism. But because of many of the leaders were trained in the West, in Europe, in the United States, United Snakes, and formed an allegiance and an alliance with those countries that Trump called shithole countries. Because after I use them up, kick them to the curb. I never developed anything, I just took. So, we as Africans, if you got something to say about this subject, if you want to chime in, give me a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We have a number of people in the queue, so hit star twice if you want to join this conversation. You can hit star twice. (clears throat) 646, good afternoon.
Yeah, just put me on mute.
Okay, bro. All right. You know, so that's where we are in this situation, family. That's where we are. We have no influence. And I don't give a damn about having any influence outside of us. I want us to have influence with each other, with inside of us, and that we begin to trust one another, believe in one another, work with one another, grow and develop with one another, have a mutual respect for one another, love for each other. Love for that to happen. Love for it to happen. In fact, if I see it happening, and I see that's the progression, that's the direction, man, I can check out. I can make my transition. I'm serious. You know, they said, God, what did God say? What the Christian folks said? God said he going to give you 70. That's 70 years. I'll be 70 next year. So I can be ready to check out. I ain't going to check out, brothers and sisters. I'll be here. I'm going to be here as long as I can, as long as my health will allow me, as long as I should start doing what I need to do to make sure that I can stay here. You know, but by the same token, it's frustrating. You know, as I said to you last week, I watched this documentary, you know, everything's going to be all white. Everything's going to be all white. W-I-W-H-I-T-E, white. And the backlash or the reaction to that, if you go on YouTube, it's being shown on Showtime. I think there's 3 segments. You can go on YouTube and see the first segment free. It's about 50 minutes. And the reaction from us, from Negroes or blacks, that this is racist, this is division, they're causing divisions, they're causing separate, you know, is ridiculous. Us. I expect that. I expect it from Caucasians because why? They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear anything contrary to what they believe. No. They don't want to hear that. But we don't either. We don't either. And so all of these folks who got podcasts and got other methods and so forth jumped on it. They talked about the fact that it was only a few handfuls of people who said that the documentary was cool, with the literally hundreds of thousands and hundreds of thousands who hated it. And then all of the Negroes or blacks who chimed in on, you know, in fact, I couldn't watch them, family. Some of them made me sick in how they respond. Made me sick. And they have no cultural awareness, no historical understanding, none. The Urugu got their mind. The Urugu got their mind. Oh, okay. I'm just looking at the time here. The time's almost up. Yeah, 646.
Hey, oh, these Urugus are some demonic, sick people, man. And the sad thing is that they use our people to manipulate and push forward their sick agenda. And unfortunately, we're so manipulative and allow ourselves to be manipulated that we go along with caring and fighting and supporting Urugus. Get the F out of here. Any Urugu on Urugu crime that leads to genocide, death, on murder in regards to them, I can kill her. That don't even affect me. I don't even lose sleep over it. You know, they, like I said, they trying to make Putin into this wild man and this whatever they want to make him into. But nah, you don't be able to lead a country and do what he's been able to do for all the time he's been in office and be a crazy, sick psychopath. Remember, Hitler didn't have as much time or half of the time to do what he did. So we need to really, really take a second eye, and we need to look and listen to alternative voices who will give a more honest perspective on what's really going on instead of following these sick, twisted Urugus,
yeah,
who don't care nothing about me and you dying because they think that they're going to be able to survive
right.
A nuclear,
right.
What you call it.
They got bomb shelters. They have all of those things planned.
That ain't going to help them because no man could live under those conditions for a long period of time. Believe me when I tell you, they're going to want to, you know, get out in air. They're going to want to do the things that they also love to do, and they're not going to be able to do it. You know, so don't let nobody fool you with this nonsense.
No, let me just say this once again, Jay. Nobody's fooling me about nothing. I'm saying I wouldn't put it past them. I've never put anything past Caucasians to do what they felt they needed to do or had to do to maintain their position of dominance and control, even to the point of something that is so deeply tragic. And I'm saying I could give less than a rat's ass, Jay. Believe me, and I think you know that. You know, because I'm not about, you know, kumbaya. I'm about African sovereignty. I'm about African independence, self-determination, and liberation. That's what I'm about. I'm about Africans controlling their resources, controlling their land. That's what I'm about. You know, there is no thing about me about talking about, you know, joining forces with them and anything like that, or marching or praying and sit-ins and laugh-ins. I ain't nothing about none of that. You know, I'm about Africans getting into their right mind and beginning to love themselves and to love their compliments and to love their families, love their children and their elders and give honor and respect to the ancestors. And then go over to work with Africa, to work with them, not go over to Africa like we did in Liberia where the attitude is, oh, because I'm a light shaded, I've been, you know, I got some Caucasian in me, so I'm better than you. Or I ain't got no Caucasian in me, so I'm more pure than you. And so this, all this bullshit conflict that happened in Liberia, that's even to the point of today, even to the point of today. And even it's so sad that globally for African people, there are still Africans who wished that the offspring of them would be lighter. And there's some people, I read a piece about a few months ago, them taking, bleaching pills. And that's crazy. I mean, I know they got bleaching creams and that's become a $1 billion business. You know, I've been to the Dominican Republic. I've been to Brazil, where in those two places specifically, where Africans who are of a melanated hue try to eliminate it, try to lighten it up. I mean, I haven't been to Nigeria, but I've been to Africa. In fact, when I was in Ghana, a story came out on the paper that a woman who had means tried to lighten her skin by lying in a damn bathtub of lye and killed herself.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey. You got to blame the people that surrounded her. You can't totally blame them.
Well, you know, there's enough blame to go around. And I'm saying that the root of the problem that affects African people is Caucasians, is Europeans, because of colonization. Okay? Because of all the stuff they did.
But African don't understand that, OG.
I know they don't.
African don't see it that way.
I know they don't.
Don't acknowledge it or nothing.
I know they don't. You know it? But it's time that they should. That's my contention. You know, Jay, I'm, you know, it's almost time for me to get up out of here, man. And so I appreciate it. I hope all the listeners had a chance to listen to what our dear sister said, Mama, you know, Elu, who talked about the Us Lifting Us conference this Saturday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can go to usliftingus.com. And you can get the information about the conference and register for it, as well as become a member of Us Lifting Us. A lot of good information will be there. You know, I've been a member of Us Lifting Us since I first heard about it back about 2013, 2012, because I moved here in 2014, in November 2014. So, and I was a member of Us Lifting Us before I even moved here, you know. And so I believe in the ideas and the concepts of us working together in co-ops. I know it could happen. It's happened in other places. Unfortunately, it's very tough for us because we have been afflicted with the Yorugu virus. And that virus is very deep, y'all. That Yorugu virus is a tough one. And even though I believe there's antidotes to it, there's medication to it. And that is coming into your right mind and believing in the concept of Ma'at, believing in the concept of the Nguza Saba, you know? Because we need unity, brother. We need unity, self-determination, liberation, sovereignty for African people.
So, we need to rid ourselves of this Caucasian,
that's right,
mindset that we have.
That's right. But it's hard, brother, because they got a vice grip on our minds. It's hard, you know?
Got Negroes on remote control, brother.
Yes, they do, brother. And you often said that, Jay. You're right, and you're right. So, all right, my brother, peace to you. We end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodie, Before it means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a great day. Hope to see you on Wednesday. Jay, you have a good day, my brother. Good to hear from you, man.
Hey, Oshie, how you been, man? Everything good?
Everything's good, brother.